Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Out of My Mind podcast. This is Keith Crosby, your host, and this is a podcast where we look at the world around us through the lens of Scripture, that is to say, with a biblical, a Christian worldview. And today, we take up the topic, the experts say, or experts write, or this expert said, because that's what we hear today when we're talking about lots of controversial subjects, particularly those involving worldview, sexuality, politics, abortion, you name it, whatever it is, experts say. Now, I'm pretty much going to stay off of rounding up the usual subjects like abortion or things like that, but we want to talk about what the experts say about education and teaching children how to read. As we well know, our reading scores in this country continue to decline year after year after year, decade after decade, no matter how much money we spend on education. We'll ignore for the time being that most of that money goes to administration and DEI programs and stuff like that, but I digress. So-called third world countries, a better term, a more generous term, is developing nations, often have reading scores better than we do. And shoot, Europe and Asia are slaughtering us in that realm. But education experts say that teaching children to read is a bad idea unless you do so around the ages of 5 to 7 years old, maybe older for boys because they learn differently. So let's just stop here for a moment. Understand this. Our educational system, our public educational system, our teachers' union, our scientific establishment, if you want to call it that, is really saying that you should not teach children to read or write until they are 6 or 7 years old for neurological reasons, or as they put it, neuroscientific reasons. That's what the experts say. One erudite scholar who is for this philosophy, Marianne Wolfe, says, and listen to this expert explanation, she says that teaching children to read prior to 5 is really wrong. She goes on to say that she would ban reading prior to 6 nationwide if she could, because it's really wrong. Of course, she's an expert. She's a scientist, right? And she is at one of the preeminent institutions in the country, UCLA. Add to that, she is the head of a department there. What department? Let's look and see, and I want you to catch the name of this department. It starts out good, but listen to how it ends. She is the director of the Center for Dyslexia, Diverse Learners, and Social Justice. Did you catch the last part there? Social justice. There's no ideology here, is there? Now, I had to say I was highly sympathetic at first as one who has a form of dyslexia and knows people who are severely dyslexic and had difficulty learning in school. I've read books about famous dyslexics like Winston Churchill, who had to fight his way through the British educational system and who, after his retirement from politics, wrote a Nobel Prize-winning piece of literature. I'm sensitive to these types of things. Well, she goes on to cite that reading words off of a page is a complex activity that requires the brain to put together multiple areas responsible for different aspects of language. You know, like the brain has to grow. And these mechanisms are not fully developed until the age between the ages of 5 and 7. Interesting, the research that she's quoting in neuroscience is over 60 years old, and it is a footnote that has nothing to do with her hypothesis. And in fact, it really pertains to color naming in certain children. But people are citing her research so that we can make our children even more functionally illiterate and useless to society. She goes on to cite other research, and I won't name all the names, that talks about this problem here. And it also tips its hat to England, where people also speak English, and Germany, where people begin to learn to read and write at the age of 4. Now, that article also zeroes in on children in Germany and Finland who really start learning much earlier than ours do, but it points out that they use phonics to learn how to read and write and things like that, to attach words to symbols, and we don't. We use the other method, which was introduced after my time. I learned to read and write through phonics. You know, you'd hear the word spoken, then you'd look at the letters maybe, and you would sound out the letters and reproduce the word that you heard spoken as you acquired English as your natural heart language. Now we try to teach kids to memorize what words look like rather than to tie them to sounds and to words that they hear audibly. But I want to double back to something. Is German and Finnish, are they both equally difficult or less difficult than English to learn as a heart language? Is their vocabulary more complex, their grammar? No, not if you grow up there. But I'm not beating up on the educational system. While there's plenty to criticize there, we're talking about experts. When somebody says, experts say, you always have to say, what experts? I saw somebody offer that challenge recently, to which their opponent responded, well, just look it up on Google for yourself. I read the article, and experts say. I read about one expert recently where they were a medical doctor commenting on medical policy, and it turns out they had never practiced medicine. They were not a practicing medical professional, and they hadn't attended medical school in years and years and years, but they had attended medical schools. They'd just never gone into practice, and now they were an expert on cutting-edge matters. Experts say. In Proverbs 18:17, it says, the first one to make their case seems right until another one comes along and examines them. In some ways, that's the basis for cross-examination in legal cases. Human beings, particularly Christians, are called to be discerning. You just don't accept any statement somebody makes. You know, like Eve in the Garden of Eden, when Satan says to her, go ahead and take the fruit, it's okay. You'll be like God, and God is holding you back. And he knows when you partake this fruit, you'll be like him, knowing the knowledge of good and evil. Experts say, well, what he said, I guess, was half right. But as we know, sometimes a half-truth is a whole lie. And just because you read about it in a newspaper or a journal or watch it on TV or your favorite YouTube crank, it doesn't mean that it's true. Experts told us that you had to stand at least 6 feet away from people during the COVID crisis, right? The COVID pandemic. You had to wear masks to keep from spreading the disease and to keep from getting the disease. With the change in regimes recently and some of the congressional hearings and people now testifying under oath, Dr. Fauci admitted the six-foot rule was made up. He doesn't know where it came from. It wasn't based on science. And while surgical masks might help reduce the spread of bacteria, they're really not that effective for viruses. Somebody said, well, the more you have on, the more you're protected, experts say. And I was like, yeah, well, I could put on 2 bathing suits and jump in the water. I'm still going to get wet because I'm exposed to water. We're seeing that the death toll that experts presented for COVID was highly overstated. Experts, when challenged, say, well, one death is one death too many. Well, that's not an appeal to science, that's an appeal to sentimentality. If you took that reasoning, there'd be no tetanus shots, there'd be no automobiles on the freeway because one death is one death too many. And the reality is the experts were wrong, and people are admitting that more and more, but it's not being covered as much in the papers, of course, in the media, because experts can be useful for advancing a political agenda. And now experts will tell you worldwide that the injury rate and the fallout from the COVID vaccine, at least in the United States, is going to cost about $3 trillion over 10 years. And it far exceeds the benefit in terms of preventing death unless you're living in places in the developing world, some people call it the third world, where you have so many comorbidities, the flu would kill you. And the flu does kill people at home and abroad. And COVID, as we're seeing, is pretty much now like the flu. It may have always been that way. You were not likely to die unless you were 30 pounds overweight, over the age of 70, had a heart condition, had COPD emphysema, had some other pre-existing condition. Otherwise, you might get sick for a week or so, but then you would bounce back, and the survival rate was 97, 98% plus, unless you were old, unless you were already infirm, or unless you were living in certain parts of the world where you already had 2 or 3 endemic diseases to wrestle with. In fact, let me just kind of go off on a digression here. The first COVID-19 comedy is coming out right now. It's a dark comedy. Let me play you the trailer from it.
I am recording this. Fair warning.
Not really necessary. Look, Joe, 6 feet. We get here, and even worse, is it worth it? At the cost of being at war with your neighbors? That's why I'm running for mayor. I used to think that you were some big deal, but I am a much better human being than you.
Who are you talking to? There's nobody here.
Now, that last scene is a mayoral candidate for the town of Eddington. Eddington is the name of the movie. Driving through the town, I think he's broadcasting through a bullhorn on top of his vehicle because he's running against a mayor who's thinking these restrictions have gone too far. And this kid pulls up on a bicycle and goes, "Who are you talking to? There's nobody here," because the streets of the city are evacuated because everybody's under lockdown because the sitting mayor is having doubts about all these restrictions. And so he's determined, being a good progressive, that he is a better man than this other progressive mayor in this little town called Addington. What's the point? The point is that pretty much everybody realizes the experts were wrong about COVID. Pretty much everybody knows the experts are just generally wrong, whether it's about our educational system, whatever it is. Climate change, when I was growing up, we were told we were going to perish in an ice age in 20 years. Now the place is too warm, and they go from global warming to climate change because the experts get it wrong, and now they have to kind of adjust the metrics. Like our educational system, like so many things, sometimes people fudge their research for a good cause. That's what we're seeing right now as we're coming out of this hangover of the last 5 to 8 years between all of these extremist policies done in the name of goodness. And that includes things like affirmative care for castrating or giving mastectomies to adolescents. We're doing it for their good, because experts here say they need it. The irony is experts around the world have stopped it because it's not working. It was a fallacious assumption. And the hospital that pioneered this in England has stopped doing this. The hospital that pioneered this decades ago in Sweden has stopped doing this because the experts were wrong. And sentiments about a particular issue don't cut it. And by the way, this movie Eddington is made by progressives. It's not made by conservatives. They just woke up. So what's the point here? I go back to Proverbs. Proverbs says there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And we're living it now in this crazy world that appeals to so-called experts, whether it's the death of education, whether it's the death, medical and physical death of people through crazy medical policies, whether it's the death of common sense. So when somebody tells you, "Well, experts say," well, when they finish talking, just say the same thing back to them. "Well, experts say," and see what they do, because it's just dueling experts, and most of the time they're making it up. I'm not saying that you should make it up, but when they challenge you, just, you know, use the same response that they give you. "Well, look it up for yourself." What you're doing is reducto absurdium. You're reducing their argument to the most ridiculous, simplest terms, and it's basically my expert's bigger than your expert. Which reminds me of a dog food commercial that goes back to the 70s. "My dog's better than your dog because my dad gives him Killeration dog food." And implicit in that advertisement was that my dad's better than your dad. Experts say. The next time you hear it, challenge them. Make them produce the information. They should be able to cite a book or a study or a year. Well, I think I've said enough for now. This is Keith Crosby with the Out of My Mind podcast. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed the podcast, share it with friends. Go to your app that you're listening on, to its webpage, and like us. Give us a 5-star rating. We appreciate your listening. If you have any questions, email me directly at keithcrosby@yahoo.com, keithcrosby@yahoo.com, and put podcast in the information line so I can spot it quickly, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks for listening again. May God bless you and God keep you.